Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
AJ Benza is going to come in, and we're also doing the news as well. AJ's always locked and loaded. And I don't know. The guy makes me laugh. I think I make him laugh, too. So lots of really interesting dish with AJ. We'll do that. The news coming up. It's all funny. First, LifeLock, Better Business Bureau, is warning. Yes. Posting your senior picture with graduation date and school name gives scammers the opportunity to piece together a profile, and they can hack you. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives every day. We put our info out there. It's on the internet. We're taking a risk. You guys are all at home. You're shopping. You're getting food. You're doing all you need to do remotely. You're doing it all online. But cyber criminals are finding new ways to steal your identity. So it's a little insurance, LifeLock. It's just insurance for this crazy, wonderful gift of being able to do all your shopping, get all your food brought to you, and do it all online. They're the leader in identity theft protection. If you become a victim of identity theft, LifeLock can fix and restore and shall work to fix and restore your good name. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
Known to prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Carolla. I know you hate masks. I hate them, too. I figured out a way to stop them. I'm going to find a sea turtle. I'm going to jam a fucking mask right down its throat, and I'm going to film me pulling it out. Therefore, no more masks. It worked for straws. Love the show. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
That's a good take. I'll green light that. I'll condone that. AJ Benza, Fame is a Bitch, is the name of the podcast. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify as well. AJ, I had Chris reach out to you to talk about Natalie Wood's before. You said you had plenty of information.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you seen the doc on HBO?
I saw the doc. I know Natasha Wagner. I used to hang out with Katie Wagner, and I actually studied acting. Well, there's a number of things in the documentary that I find untrue because I studied acting.
Hold on. I forgot. Wait, I forgot to play your intro.
We have an
Sorry.
Intro.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Play the intro.
It's time for Allegedly with AJ Benza. Called that so we don't get sued.
All right. Sorry. Now you acted. Okay. You went to acting school with the daughters.
Yeah, I studied. No. The daughters were my friends, and I haven't seen them in a while. But back in the mid '90s, I did quite a bit. But I studied acting in the '80s with a woman. No one's ever heard of her, but she was a terrific actress named Zora Lampert. But she happened to play the woman that Warren Beatty married in Splendor in the Grass. He left Natalie Wood for this woman. Mm-hmm. She's a terrific actress, and she told me a lot about that. And over the years, I've been friends with Warren. And one of the things they say in that documentary is that there was no love affair between Natalie Wood and Warren Beatty. That's false. There absolutely was. And it's important to establish that that's in fact true, because that's the way it was with Natalie with nearly all of her co-stars. The only one that she didn't have an affair with was Steve McQueen. He wanted nothing to do with her because he was friendly, believe it or not, with Warren Beatty. He didn't want to mess with Warren. But the way this documentary portrays her, I'm glad it touched on her mother being crazy, her mother being this tragic figure and having these fits or faking epileptic fits. Natalie has been a tragic person all her life. And I always felt that what happened that night on the boat was a woman who was drunk, had pain pills in her system, and a sedative in her system. And I don't think she liked the fact that Rob Wagner and Christopher Walken, who she was co-starring with in Brainstorm, who I also believe she was messing around with, the two of the guys had a very bad argument, as you saw in the documentary. But Robert Wagner goes short. He just says Chris Walken was interfering and saying Natalie should act more. She should be at movies more. And RJ said she needs to be a mother. But I think Natalie was having an affair with Chris or a fling, and she didn't like what happened on the boat that night. And Wagner, look, if you and I are arguing about my wife's career, I'm not going to break a bottle of wine on a table. I'm going to break a bottle of wine if I think you're fucking my wife.
Right.
That's the broken. That's a big move to make over a little argument about a career. And they don't mention that that night, the three of them were thrown out of two bars on Catalina because they were uproariously loaded.
Right. Well, yeah.
They don't mention those things.
They kind of allude to lots of stuff, but they don't really drill down on it. And in the doc, yeah, she was seen on the red carpet with Warren Beatty and that kind of stuff. And I don't remember whether they said she didn't have an affair with him. You assume when you watch the doc, you just assume she has an affair with every man she brushes against.
She did. And of course, you know, when her career took off, Robert Wagner's career was standing still, and he wanted to split to go to Europe because the rumors were out there that she was having an affair with Warren. And when she said, I don't want to go to Europe, that's basically her telling him, no, I'm having a good time here doing this stuff with Warren. And he takes off, and there was a 5-year gap before they got back together again. So I think it's plain to see. You're also dealing with the
AJ.
Come back to us.
Yeah. All right, it's a little spotty on the Wi-Fi there, but it's a compelling story. She's a compelling person, and yeah, she was married to Robert Wagner when she was super young, and then they broke it off after a few years of marriage, and then went about their ways, and then came back together in the 70s and started over again. AJ's seized up there, so we'll wait till that glitch works out.
Okay, there he is.
There he is. Now he's seized up again. All right. Well, look, it could go no other way. I'll wait. He's getting himself
now. I see.
Situated.
I don't know why. I always take my calls right in that spot, and it's fine.
Well, maybe the video is what's putting the strain on the system.
Yeah, it could be.
All right. So let's talk about what Britney Spears. What else you want to talk about? Fauci, Dr. Phil. What do we got?
Well, you would know more about the Fauci, Dr. Phil, and Dr. Oz, Dr. Drew stuff, because those guys all came out when this pandemic began, and they were against all this lockdown stuff. They were saying that it's not going to be as bad as you think. And it's just remarkable that all three TV doctors, it was almost like they were told, you got to go back and reverse what you said, because you're not toeing the line. And all three of them apologized. And the more I read and listen, have you seen this new documentary that got taken off YouTube called Plandemic?
Plandemic, yeah.
No, I haven't. I've been hearing some rumblings
about
it.
It's really interesting, because this Dr. Judy Mikovits is like this whistleblower who worked with Fauci during the AIDS vaccine days. And she's got terrible things to say about him. And a lot of stuff she says checks out. And I do feel that they're kind of blowing a lot of things out of proportion with respect to the lockdown. And the one thing she calls upon is that Fauci stands to benefit if this vaccine gets rolling and then they end up coming at everybody with a vaccine because his name is on a patent. Mm. And I think don't you think it's kind of ridiculous that a scientist like him could have his name on a patent and stand to make hundreds of millions of dollars if it goes? Is that right?
I don't know. I have heard, and AJ, your camera is sort of cattywampus, as we like to say in the business. You're Dutch. There you go, Batman. So we got you back. There was some stories about him being on a board, and we gave a lot of money to China, and they're sort of in with China and the research facilities. And I wouldn't say no to anything these days. Like, you know, you start hearing about stuff like you take hydrochloroquine. Hydrochloroquine is essentially free, right? And it seems to be effective in many cases, but there was a huge campaign against it, and any doctor that brought it up, and they really went after it hard. Now, there's plenty of evidence with a lot of doctors. We've had Dr. Zelenko on. It does work, or it is effective with zinc and other things. Right. But it's essentially free. It's 80 years old, and there's no money to be made off of that.
Right.
And then there's right. millions that are dumped into other drugs. And, of course, you would – first off, I would put nothing past drug companies for sure.
Right.
I'm glad for much of the work they do, but I don't think they're noble entities. They want to make make money. If there is a product where you can make a lot of money and another product that's essentially out and almost free, then you're going right. to run a smear campaign against the product that's out and almost free and try to get paid for your product. So I'm sure some of it's going on. Yes.
Yeah, and of course the other thing, and I'm not sure. I've been reading, I'm sure you guys have too, about Bill Gates being involved in this, the patent for the vaccine, and how he mentioned the coronavirus in particular a while back as if getting ready for this, and how he's talking about worldwide vaccinations. And I don't understand how we've gotten to this point in our world where a man that nobody elected, has no degrees in medicine, is not a virologist or an epidemiologist. How has it come to the fact, just because he has money, we just get to have to listen to this guy over and over again, try to convince the world that
I'm talking about Dr. Drew that way.
Well, look, it's,
I trust Dr. Drew a lot more than Bill Gates.
I don't know. I don't think that people are nefarious, but I do know people want to make money, and they certainly want to return on an investment. If they're putting millions or billions into research, they want to get paid or made whole at least. The thing about Drew and Dr. Oz and trying to think who else. Oh, Phil. There's a new thing that's going on in our society. It's kind of a Matt Damon thing where you point out something, where you say, hey, what Al Franken did shouldn't be confused with what Harvey Weinstein did. I mean, right. those were two different crimes. And then you get the shit beat out of you online, and then you go, fuck it, life's too short, and then you kind of shut up. Or before you talk, you say to the people that kick the shit out of you, what do you want me to say again? Because I just don't really want to go through this. So
yeah.
Dr. Drew, Dr. Phil, and Dr. Oz had their opinions, but the mob is so fucking, everyone's got a pitchfork out and a torch, and they're going to everyone's house, and they literally got threatened just to kind of shut up.
But what does the mob know? Is it the mob, or is it particular people in government that paid them a visit and said, you got to take that all back. You're messing up a lot of shit we got lined up.
I talk to Drew quite a bit, and he tells me quite a bit. And I don't think that's it. I think here's what human beings want to do. Human beings want to look at their phone and read happy shit about them, not shitty stuff about them. And that's all our default wirings, except for James Woods. And Candace Owens. Those are the only two that seem to thrive. Right. And maybe Ben Shapiro. But other than that, everyone looks at their phone and goes, I want to read happy shit about me, not horrible shit about me. And it doesn't matter at a certain point whether it's right or wrong. You just don't want to read horrible shit about you. And all those guys were probably reading horrible shit about them, and they just backed off it. So I think these guys, even though they're doctors, they're humans first, and they just don't want to get pelted with tomatoes every time they leave their house. And that's the new world order.
I guess so. I'm just starting to kind of adopt that attitude myself, because I've been the policeman of the world for too goddamn long, and it doesn't pay anymore. It's just ridiculous. I'm in arguments. I went to Ralph's the other day to get a bottle of wine for the wife, and the guy proofs me. I said, hold it a second. Look, he goes, I need ID. I said, the ID is my hair. It's fucking white. I'm 57 years old. You think I'm 19? And I was starting to take my mask off and yell at the guy. And he got so panic stricken, he couldn't back up further than his little conveyor belt area. And he said, so I can ask you to leave. I said, all right, then I'll take my fucking mask off. Let's go. No, 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 no. Please, sir. People are panicky. So you're right. It's better not to even argue and just let shit go by.
Don't make me take these shallots out of my pocket and throw them at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't stealing that day, which is maybe why I was so ballsy. Yeah.
Because you're right through the eyes of a can of saffron.
I had this. There's an unintended circumstance to all this like panic stuff, which is like Sonny and I were going to go to the beach today. And then Natalia was like, want to know what we're doing. And we said, we go to Malibu. We go to the pavilions. I go into the pavilions. I go to the deli counter. I put my mask on. I get two sandwiches. We go outside and we eat it outside. And Natalia's getting agitated. And she's like, where are your gloves? You have no gloves. I said, we went there last week. Nobody inside that store was wearing gloves. None of the customers were wearing gloves.
No.
They're all wore masks, no gloves. The people, cashiers wore the gloves. And she was like getting agitated and angry. And I was just like going, I'm just going to go out. We're going to buy a sandwich. We're going to sit outside. We're going to eat the sandwich. She's like, you film yourself in that store with your mask on.
Wow.
Or you're not coming. And it's like, she's agitated because she's 13.
Wow.
She's going on 14. She's been fed this slow drip of fucking hand-wringing poison and a non-stop, you know, we've hit the morbid plateau and another body count and this is creeping up on all of us. She's been ingesting all of it and now she's like a little, look, she has a little PTSD. Do you want to give every 13-year-old just a dusting of PTSD? You don't think we have enough fucking problems? Just make her a little more susceptible to diet pills with booze when she's 17? Because she's rattled. Like, she's fucked up a little. And it's definitely fucked us up a little. Like, we have to live with her, and she's pissed off, and she doesn't want to talk to me or Sonny because we left the house and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, thank you, news. Thank you. I appreciate
it. It's scary, but, you know, there are these kids. The only good thing about the lockdown is that we are able to take our kids out of the, you know, liberal teachings of all the schools in California. So now they're at home. It's not quite as bad as them being in a classroom. At least they can hear mommy and daddy during the day instead of all the teachers. But I'm not really an alarmist. I wear the mask if I go shopping. I don't wear gloves. I took Rocco to play basketball at the park a few days ago. We've been going every couple of days. Guys are on the court. The first day we went there was tape up. He said, oh, Dad, we can't play. I said, well, yes, we can. I just broke the tape. And then, you know, seven guys showed up. We didn't play bump and run basketball. We just took shots and had some fun. But you can't take that away from me, too. For Christ's sake, it's no beach, no park. It's so disgusting what's going on now. I don't know what this next generation is going to feel like. Bars, restaurants, karaoke clubs, comedy club. Well, you can speak to comedy clubs. When are you going to feel comfortable enough or people to go sit in a room with 100 people and listen to jokes?
Well, you know, I think that when I go to Houston to play the improv, it's going to be half capacity is the way they're going to do it. I think they started with 25%. Then they're going to go up to 50%. I was telling August yesterday, I am used to playing half full rooms. So I'm going to have an advantage. Whereas the other comedians are used to sold out, another sold out show, capacity, fire marshal coming in there and busting the manager. I am so dialed in to playing half full rooms that I'm just really going to. It's really going to pay dividends for comedians like myself.
I was just going to say, up-and-coming comedians or certain caliber comedians are the other real winners of COVID-19.
Oh, yeah.
The room's not my fault that there's only 10 people in there. They
No. They're going to show videos of them with a bad performance. No, it was COVID-19. nobody could go.
Nobody felt like laughing.
It was 3 years ago, Dad. No, it was COVID.
Adele was one of the stories you wanted to talk about.
Well, look, Adele looks great. Have you seen a picture of her lately? She dropped 100. She looks fantastic. I mean, she's always been pretty, but let's face it, you couldn't see the bone structure in the face full of fat. And,
I think she always had a very pretty face. It's just her body was big. And now, no more.
But you can't even compliment her. If you go online and say something about Adele looks great, all the white knights attack you and the chubby chasers attack you for, she always looked great. No, she didn't. She didn't always look great. Her face looked good, but she's now striking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was never striking. But I think she had lap band surgery, because I think if she was going through this through diet and exercise, we would have seen stages of this. We would have seen maybe a, you know, paparazzi are everywhere. You can't, Adele can't leave her house without somebody finding her. So what are you saying? She never had a trainer come over. She never went to a gym. I don't buy it. I think she disappeared for a while, got the operation and recuperated at home. And she did it perfectly. I don't care that she did. I think she looks fantastic.
Well, I totally agree with AJ. I had the same conversation with one of my friends the other night. And this isn't something I usually, you know, we don't spend all the time jawing about this, but this came up and I said, look, she has been 100% out of the public eye. And she suddenly emerges with this entirely new body. I think that's when you're on the mend after a gastric bypass or something of that
nature. Let me defend Gina as well. Normally, her and her friends sit around and talk about Al Roker and
that's
what a sellout he is.
Yeah. Yeah. But, Jones. Yeah.
But it's rarely do they, they talk about Adele. So it is kind of interesting, which is if you are, for lack of a better number, if you're Adele and at some point when you're at the peak of your weight, you're at 190 pounds or 200 pounds or whatever it is, the fattest version of you. And then you get down to the svelte, you know, 118 pound version of you. We should see pictures of you at 155,
exactly.
I guess.
Of course.
Well,
of course.
And maybe they exist, but it's an interesting point.
How do you think, if you're her ex-husband, put yourself in his shoes. You've been with Adele. She's been this, you know, big, big woman. You leave and she just becomes this knockout. He's got to feel like shit.
Yeah.
Revenge body.
Right? Yeah.
He's the real victim.
When I'm in charge, she would have to throw him one. My feeling is retroactively, grandfather is dick into her vagina, but she would have to throw, you know, if he'd been together, if they were like together for more than 3 years while she was above, you know, while she was coming in at a cruiser weight, now she's coming in at straw weight, she's got to retroactively throw him one.
You gotta. If you're him, how do you look at her and go, all your friends are going, you got to fuck her again one more time because he's had this big giant woman in bed. Now there's all positions to explore. I'm sure they never did reverse cowgirl. It's not my favorite, but it's out there. I find it very uncomfortable even watching the reverse cowgirl, to be honest.
Up on the knees.
It's very hard. I've got a bad back. I have no time for that.
I got all the time in the world for reverse cowgirl. So.
It's too much work. I don't want to work that hard.
I've been carving out time for reverse cowgirl. I've been banking my vacation days.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you, and I guess we all kind of – we do a thing. All right, so let's just admit this. When you see somebody and they're overweight, we always say, well, don't discriminate. Like, hire that person or date that person. Like, don't discriminate. But we all have this little thing in the back of our head, which is – oh, that person may be a little bit lazy, or they're not working hard enough, or they're not focused enough, or they're not taking care of themselves like enough.
Right.
And you would be right in many cases. Like, that person is not exercising, you know, an hour a night and watching what they eat and so forth. Like Brian, I saw Christy put her cinnamon buns out.
Sourdough.
Right.
It's outrageous.
Amazing looking. Have you had any of those?
I have had a crumb this size, holding my fingers, about a half an inch apart.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Wow. So she made a beautiful iron skillet.
A cast iron skillet full of from scratch. I'm going to say from scratch, of a starter dough of sticky buns.
That's nice. That's beautiful.
Yeah, unbelievable. And
Chris, find the picture.
It's crazy.
Chris, I took some pictures on my phone. Brian, I think you and I could have a carb off because my house is fucking loaded with carbs right now. And it's the same thing. So, but here's what I'm saying.
I don't want to be a one-upper, but I got you beat. Christy is, her starter is growing. I can see it right there. I'm looking at two loaves of brioche bread and sourdoughs over there. But just bread. She's giving it away to the neighbors. She's just walking it over like, hey, I just came out of the oven.
All right, so let's drill down a little bit, which is it's a big skillet.
Look at that.
Yeah,
sticky.
That
fun,
is tough
beautiful.
To look at.
All right. Cinnamon breakfast sticky. All right. Everyone can taste it in their mouth. Like, yeah. Everyone's mouth is watering right now. All right. Yeah. So Brian has to live with that. Brian is on his keto diet. Brian tastes just a piece the size of a marble or a grape and then keeps walking. Okay, that says something about his constitution. If Brian just got out a jug of goat milk and just ate that whole pan to his head, that would say something else about his constitution, you know?
Yeah.
And eventually his constitution would catch up to him in the size of his waistband. And so we would kind of be right. People are, look, other people, my wife Lynette cannot get fat, so she should get no credit for her diet because she doesn't diet. She just can't get fat. And then there are other people who have thyroid problems and issues that are just a predilection to it. But by and large, we kind of will turn into what we eat. And if you keep walking past that delectable pan of cinnamon rolls, then you will not get fat. If you stop and graze, you will. So when we sort of judge people who are not taking care of themselves, we're partially correct to do that. Just the same way if a guy said, hey, I'm an extreme marathoner. I did a 100-mile marathon. I'm training for a 100-mile marathon. I'm extreme. I'd go, well, that guy's tough. That guy's mastered himself. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it, but I admire that guy. That's a guy you'd probably want on your team. And so as far as the surgery goes, when you see someone go from 200 pounds down to 115 through diet, through exercise, over the course of 2 years or whatever, you have a certain respect for that person because you're like, that person is working every day, walking past that pan of sticky buns. If you go in and get the surgery and just recoup in your penthouse and come out, I'm glad you're down the weight, but I don't look at you the same as that other person. I don't look down. I don't look down at you, but why? It's not fair to the other person to look at you the same way. It's like boob jobs and Gina. It's not fair to Gina for me to. Sorry.
That's true.
I took a I took a picture on my phone, Maxipad, of just I took all the carbs out and put them on top. And I've been a bad boy too. I've had a few.
I just got Chinese delivered from Chin Chin. I'm talking about food.
I love
Chin
Chin.
I'm ready to pound down after
this.
They
do a good chicken salad.
Tara Reid, what's up about Britney Spears?
Well, Britney, you know, look, if you've been seeing her on social media lately, she's we all know she's on the conservatorship for a while, and it's going to be continuing to August. Her father's not involved anymore. Well, he's involved in the money side, but this other woman's involved in the personal side, at least till August. But she's looking like she's losing her marbles even worse. I mean, there's a video of her talking about how she burned her home gym down out in Thousand Oaks. She says she had a candle lit, and she said one thing led to another, and I burned my gym down.
Oopsie.
Very, very matter of fact, oops, I did it again kind of shit. But I don't, first of all, I'm sure it was about a cigarette, not about a candle, but that's not a fun story to tell. But I heard that she wants to get pregnant with her boyfriend, Sam, and it's driving the father batshit because he can't really control that aspect of her, even though he'd like to, but it's not the money aspect. But you got to, if I'm putting myself in her shoes, how fucking boring is her life right now? She can't do a goddamn thing. Everybody's in charge of it. And she's got to just sit there and still be Britney Spears, but not have any of like the kind of benefits to being Britney Spears.
Well, what's up with her kids now?
That's the weird thing. You know, Federline, we've shit on Federline for so long. I got to tell you, not for nothing, this guy's shaping up to be a pretty good guy. Because if anybody could have told stories and told the world where the bodies are buried, he could have sold her out and been set for life. Instead, he gets an amount of money every month because he takes care of the kids. 80% of the custody is with him.
Oh, okay.
So he's being a good guy. He stepped up to the plate. Dr. Drew always says Britney needs that conservatorship in the worst way. He makes no bones about how bad she'd be without it. But I just think that this little bit of her rebelling is going to be interesting. In the next few months, she says she wants a baby. I'd like to see them stop her from doing that. Then the shit's really going to hit the fan.
So the dad's got control of the money, but not of the fallopian tubing.
Yeah, he can't be around for that. And, you know, if she wants to get laid, dad's not going to step in and be in charge of that. It's not a good idea with the shape she's in to have a kid, but I think crazy things have happened.
I'm going to flip the script here. Federline's put on a lot of weight since he was with Brittany, but he's doing a hell of a, and she looks fantastic now. He's doing a hell of a job with those kids. Brittany, you got to throw Kevin one. You got to throw him one.
Nice idea. Nice idea.
It's only fair.
And you know something? You know, if she was good in bed, well, when she made the video with the Catholic school skirt, you know, let's face it. But now that she's got a lot of crazy in her head, she must be a lot. Talk about reverse cowgirl. There are things she can lay on you that no one's done before. A crazy Britney in bed.
I call this one the Mickey Mouse Club.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Max Patty, do you have my carb phone?
Yeah, we're just uploading them right now.
Next
on carb.
It's excessive.
I just realized how many. Well, what happens is.
There you go.
We got the. They got like the hummus platter, which comes with like 18 pita breads all whacked up and no one's even touched them. I've sacks and sacks of French fries. Sonny, you know, doesn't finish his rice. The one on the upper left is basically the Panda Express. That's the fried rice with the candied orange chicken goop on top of it. It is just a cavalcade of carbs in my kitchen.
And don't forget the Ziploc freezer bag full of dinner rolls.
Well, that's all Panera that comes. So everyone orders tons of rolls and fries and pita with everything, and then they just eat all the meat and put it back in the fridge. And then I just stare at it.
That's why I said, if the world really is ending, somebody let me know. I'm going to go sit on my front porch with a giant loaf of bread and a stick of butter. Because that's all I dream about.
All right, Chris, now you got to scroll through Christie's Instagram.
I got to unfollow her for at least another couple of months.
Oh, my God, it's so painful. Right. I'm looking at waffles. I'm looking at homemade sourdough waffles.
Sourdough waffles.
Let's stay with that. Again, half an inch, so good. I got to try it. It's insulting if
you
I don't have
You have
from.
To. You have
live
to.
Live there, yeah.
Yeah, I know. All right.
Well, do you like the paleo diet? Are you the keto diet? Are you really into it? You like it?
I've grown to love it. I miss bread. I miss dessert. I miss beer more than anything. Pasta. Oh, I miss all this stuff. But it's for health reasons.
It's
alive. There's enough good stuff. The bacon and the eggs and all the cheese.
That's true.
There's enough good stuff.
That's true.
I literally today, while Sonny went to the deli counter at the Pavilions in Malibu to get his Italian club, our big hoagie, big grinder, I just walked over to the deli section. I grabbed a thing of cheese, a thing of Italian sausage, you know, meat, you know, and I bought a jar of pickles. And we just sat in the car and he just ate his sandwich. I parked the car so was oriented toward the ocean. We just sat in the car, listened to a little, listened to some 40s music, like some Guy Lombardo stuff.
Some big band.
And he just sat there and ate his sandwich while I fished pickles out of this thing and wrapped it with the prosciutto. Yeah.
You know what you ate? You ate exactly what Vinny gives his ultra marathon runners on the road when he's running, you know, when he's next to them with the van, pickles, cheese, and salami.
Yeah, the pickle juice is supposed to be good, I guess, for cramps.
Pickle juice is great, cramps.
Yeah, but either way, there's ways you can do it that are less painful than others. But at some point, you just want that In-N-Out burger with the bun, and you just want those enchiladas with the corn tortillas.
No, please take Christie's.
Look at them; those are English muffins. Those are homemade from scratch.
Oh, those
muffins
are fantastic! Wow, that's good stuff.
That's good. Oh yeah, stuff.
I never thought she could do anything to make me say this, but I hate Christie Bishop.
Absolutely amazing bacon. Baking, I should say.
That's good stuff.
All right, let me hit DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership. You can watch DC series and films and read nearly 23,000 DC comics and connect with other DC fans. Check out the new DC Universe rewards program. Earn tokens to receive exclusive DC swag and more. Original series, Harley Quinn, adult animated series. Season 2 is up and running as we speak. And the newest series, Stargirl, premieres coming up May 18th. So that's well, a week and a half, something like that. Action-packed lineup of originals, Doom Patrol, Titans, Swamp Thing, and Young Justice Outsiders as well. Plus, you get the latest DC news by watching DC Daily or tuning into their podcast. That is DC Universe. My son Sonny's watching the bejesus out of this at DC Universe. Right, Dawson?
Ready to experience awesomeness? Join DC Universe today and get a free 7-day trial plus 15% off your first 3 months. Visit DCUniverse.com/HelloPod and enter code Adam at checkout. Again, that's DCUniverse.com/HelloPod. Enter code Adam at checkout. Valid for monthly subscription only. Expires 6/30/20.
Do we have a outro for AJ to fire, Dawson?
That was Allegedly with AJ Benza. Called that so we don't get sued. All views and opinions expressed in this segment are lightly researched and or complete conjecture based on hearsay and rumor from loose connections within the entertainment industry. There is no concrete way to prove that any of the claims made by AJ are in fact accurate and not libelous or defamatory. But again, we remind any legal representation who may be listening that the view and opinions expressed belong to AJ and only AJ, host of Fame as a Bitch, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Podcast One.
All right.
It's actually, I'm not on Podcast One anymore, so you can get rid of that.
Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yeah, every day on Apple, every day. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Allegedly not on Podcast One.
Yeah. You might have to check that. Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come right back with the news and Gina Grad and AJ and Brian right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
I want to tell everyone I'm going to do a live unprepared, sort of quarantine unprepared on our YouTube channel, I think next week. So you guys go to our YouTube channel. We'll keep you posted.
Yeah, if you subscribe, you'll get an alert when we do it. But it's looking like Monday morning.
Okay, good.
Well, a couple of sad, semi-breaking, although not entirely breaking news at this point. Little Richard passed away over the weekend, age 87. His son Danny Penniman confirmed the death, didn't disclose the cause. He was born Richard Penniman, May 5th, 1932, Macon, Georgia, inaugural Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee in 1986. And, of course, known for his sort of over-the-top, distinct style, sexual ambiguity. Huge influence on the Beatles and many others. And Brian, I couldn't help but think of you when I got this news, because my first thought was Little Richard was still alive.
Yeah, he was the MVP of the All-Star team. Are they still alive All-Star team? I told people years ago, go out, win some bets, because no one knows Richard. Little Richard's still alive.
Did That's he right. hurt his cause as a genius, a musical genius? And sorry, Gina, but a little Dolly Parton-esque, where the character overshadowed the musicianship in people's minds.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Well, he was always that way, though, from the jump with the white pancake makeup. He's always been that way. You know, if it did, it didn't stop guys like McCartney and Jagger and Bowie and all these people saying he's the reason why they do what they do. So,
well, yes. And you, to your point, think of Bowie. I mean, you put on a leotard and paint your face and nobody questioned.
I met Little Richard 10 years ago. I couldn't. More, maybe 15. I went to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
What? Stop it. What's on a black man hanging out? Okay.
I lived not far from there, and he was in the back in a pink suit with a bunch of Bibles on the back table.
Cooking.
And I don't, yeah, maybe he was about to run a sermon, but yeah, he looked just as insane as you could imagine. I didn't go up and talk to him, but I couldn't believe he was just sitting there in a pink suit with a bunch of Bibles. My father. Yeah, he was a crazy person. But, I mean, let's say one thing. Can we just say one thing? Well, he had 5 songs.
He had Tutti Frutti. He had Long Tail Sally.
Good Golly Miss Molly.
Good Golly Miss Molly.
I mean, yeah. Can we get like 25 songs? But apparently 5 songs enough to be a legend forever? I don't know. Well, I need a few more.
AJ, but that's an era when most people had 1 or 2 songs. So the fact that Little Richard was as influential as he was, but
and a crossover hit at the time.
Yeah, but to Adam's point, like once the Beatles kind of eclipsed him in popularity doing his music, essentially, he did become more of a caricature to most people. You know what I mean? Known for being Little Richard than for the music.
Sure, he was. He was. He was a character,
I saw a clip of him playing one song we forgot, Keep a Knockin' But You Can't Come In, on that was on Full House. He was playing on Full House. That's the whole thing. Well, so it's interesting because you brought up Bowie. So you think of Bowie and you go, well, that guy's an innovator. You know, that guy's on the vanguard or whatever. And so he gets points for the crazy makeup and the costumes and everything. But you can also deduct points for it, too. So it's all a construct of our own mind. It's like Madonna, she gets points, and Bowie, he gets points. But a Little Richard, we deduct points because he didn't evolve or he didn't change. Or I don't know how our minds work. But either way,
he was who he was from the beginning, and he stayed that way. He never wavered. He was just that way. You know, he never had a. I mean, Prince, Boy George, Bruno Mars, even, you know, Jimi Hendrix played with him. A lot of people just give it up to him as the main guy, the architect of rock and roll.
All right. Well, he shall be missed.
Another sad death. Roy Horn of the famous Las Vegas performance duo Siegfried and Roy has died of complications of the coronavirus. He was 75. German-born entertainer, along with Siegfried Fischbacher, probably a lot of people didn't know his last name, became a top attraction on the Vegas Strip many years. Of course, known for the white lions and the dazzling costumes and the magic. Horn was nearly killed, I'm sure you'll remember, in 2003 when his tiger Montecor attacked him on stage.
Yeah.
The incident put an end to the show. I don't believe it was ever performed again. And Horn's manager says there will be no memorial service because of the coronavirus, health threat. So they're putting all that, they're postponing.
Do you guys think the tigers hang out like hard guys do in prison and kind of brag like, yeah, I killed a cop or I killed that guy, I killed that gangbanger, whatever it is. And so that lion or that tiger goes, oh yeah, I killed a man. I killed this dude. I killed Roy. And then some other tiger goes, he died 17 years later. Yeah, but he was compromised. He was compromised because of me.
Listen, he was gay and he was a magician. He's not a gangbanger, so calm down.
Well, it's like Chris Rock said about that incident. The tiger didn't go crazy. The tiger went tiger. The tiger went crazy when you put him on a unicycle and made him wear a funny hat.
Right.
Also, he did something wrong that day. If I remember the story, he did something wrong that they didn't do before. And his partner ran off stage, apparently, because he was kind of alarmed at what might happen. I forget, but I read the story back then, and it appeared that he may have done something a little bit too aggressive to the tiger. The tiger just said, enough of this shit, you know.
I dragged David Alan Greer. I can't think of who else. I don't remember if Jimmy came with us. I don't remember. I don't think Jimmy came with us. I was in Vegas doing Crank Yankers, and I was like, we're going to see Siegfried and Roy. And David Alan Greer was like, no, we're not. Like, this is like 2000 and this is 2003, like, or 2002. I mean, this is 6 months before this thing. It could have been three months. And I was like, we are going to see Siegfried and Roy. And he was like, no, we're not. We're going to a strip club, you know? And I was like, we'll go to a strip club after we see Siegfried and Roy. And he said, why? It's like, it's so lame. And I said, you know, there was a time in 1976 when someone was talking about seeing Elvis and the other person was going, come on, let's see the Lovin' Spoonful. Like, that's a real band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Elvis is so old and lame, you know? And I said, they will be glad. They're glad that they went and saw Elvis, and we'll be glad we saw Siegfried and Roy. And I stand by.
And, you know, we'll never know what Roy felt about Tiger King.
True. That's very, very true.
He's the original Tiger King. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And to your point, we were talking about that on KFI the other night and thought, you know, will there be another Siegfried and Roy type act? And I said, not after Tiger King.
People don't want to see that anymore. People don't want to see that. Nah.
No.
I think you're right.
That's over.
There was a guy named Barracino, I think, who had orangutans, and he got busted for beating on them. He was a big act back when people had orangutans, like back yeah. in the day. Tony Barracino. Oh, we got a. We've looked it up before, but yeah. Sorry, my camera went out. But we've looked it up before, where the guy is a famous guy. Had an orangutan act. It's always, look, they're either beating on them or making sweet love yeah. to them. It's never a good thing. It's never a good thing. Reverse orangutan. Well,
then, yeah. Right. No, it was when the reverse orangutan. Remember Clint Eastwood, Every Which Way But Loose?
Yes.
But it probably was that era, right, where orangutans were in movies.
Bobby Barracini, Maxipan, wow. would be this dude's name and his orangutans, and it was they loved it. Everyone loved it, but it never works out. Everyone's miserable. Look, go ahead and do magic, just minus the rhino or the tiger, like whatever it is. Just do magic.
Stick with Penn and Teller, you'll be fine.
Yeah,
it's not like I do comedy riding a llama. I'm like, I'll just do comedy. This is gonna be comedy. How about that?
I know. Copperfield does fine. Yeah, Copperfield's fine. Yeah, yeah, I know. It doesn't make any sense.
But Seinfeld does well, too. You just stand there and you tell a joke. You entertain the people that way. Bobby Barracini.
Yeah, so in 89, a Stardust dancer secretly videotaped Barracini grabbing, slapping, punching, and shaking his orangutans before going on stage with them. The dancer sent the tapes to PETA.
God. And you can't do that.
Yeah, he got in trouble.
You can't slap an orangutan.
Who the hell has the balls to shake an orangutan and slap him? Are you kidding me? But that's dangerous.
Barracini sued the dancer, PETA, and another animal rights group, and a jury found in favor of Barracini and awarded him $3.1 million in damages.
Whoa.
Wow. He got paid to beat an animal?
Well, he didn't initially. Wow. He didn't get the money up front, but later on...
It was a deferred paycheck.
This guy sounds like a real piece of shit, man.
Jeez, anyone have a baboon I could beat on? Man, I could use a payday.
I'm sorry. I will go full Cecil the Lion here. I am outraged and disgusted.
I know.
How
and this
you beat?
This. And what about the poor showgirl, the whistleblower? And listen, and don't do that thing. Don't go, don't call it an orangutan blower, or don't even go there. Just say, keep it at whistle. I know it's
that
tempting.
Wasn't part of the act.
Monkey blower, ape blower, but she's a fine girl. People are going to get the wrong picture in their head.
Yeah, then PETA subsequently alleged that Barracini had moved more than $2 million out of the country to avoid paying court costs. So Barracini and PETA agreed to a settlement in which Barracini paid $340,000 in court costs and interest. And 2 years later, he was ordered to pay three law firms $250,000 for the time they spent trying to find the $2 million.
I hate this guy.
So
this guy's like a good dude.
This guy's amazing.
He was a big 70s. Like, he'd show up on those variety shows. He'd probably be on, like, Sonny and Cher and the Osmonds. I was like, Bobby Barracini and his orangutans. He'd come out there all laughing like Ellen.
Yeah, yeah. You know he was doing blow back then, too. He was all jacked up and knocking orangutans around.
And also, you know, we don't know the full story. Like, was the orangutan, like, eyeballing him? Was he not?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean? Was he giving him a hard time? Yeah. We don't know.
You're right. I jumped to conclusions.
So in 93, Barracini, in an interview, said that he and his wife have received numerous death threats against themselves and their orangutans for the middle of the night or in the middle of the night. He also said that he had to shop at a different supermarket every day for several months due to the threats.
Hold on. But you know what the tell was? He always bought 80 pounds of raw yams. It was like, wait a minute.
That stopped.
47 bunches of bananas.
Yeah. There's a guy over here buying lox and currants. Yeah, leave him alone. We look for the yam. You're looking for the yam guy. Guy comes in.
That sounds like grubs.
Look at that guy. He's got a fake mustache and a satchel of yams over his shoulder. Let's get him. Well, is Barracini still alive?
It doesn't say here, so I'll find out. But he's part of a whole Czech family of circus reformers. His brother, it looks like, was the fastest club juggler in the world. In the world record holding juggler.
Well, that's saying something.
So, yeah, his brother is just an amazing juggler. So
that's what Donkey Kong is based on, his life.
So, Barracini, does that film exist? Did anyone ever put that up on the internet? So
I love that.
So the showgirl sees that he's abusing these animals. Like, she probably is working the act with him. She saw it five nights in a row, and on the sixth night, she brought in the camcorder, right?
Because this is an era before, obviously, cell phones, before anything small. She had to that took some work by
operation.
Yeah, tracked out a camera.
There was no, there was no camcorders back then.
Well, there What was it, 93?
Oh, I thought it was 70.
Me too.
You said 70.
No, 93 was the interview that he did.
Oh, the 90s.
He couldn't. But I found some video. I'll put it up.
What year was the video from?
Oh, wow.
Screw that up.
The video is from 89.
Oh, 89. Oh, okay. All right, so just the beginning.
Oh, the big old VCR camera, yeah.
Yeah, when you wear the VCR on your back. I'm not watching this.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird footage of dark footage of him.
It's hard.
Mussing up the.
What do I know what it takes to control a bunch of orangutans? Maybe you got to smack around a little bit. What do I know?
Stop defending him.
Well, anyway, his career was cut short, but you gave it to PETA, but then they sued and made money. It's a crazy world.
No, right? Bobby Barasini's his quote was to PETA. He said, "These orangutans are banging cocktail waitresses three at a time. I got to smack them around once in a while."
There you go,
Mo Green. Nice.
That's right, Fredo.
Yeah. All right. What else we got, Gina? Sorry for that.
The aide to Vice President Mike Pence, who's tested positive for coronavirus, is his press secretary, Katie Miller. Miller, also the wife of Stephen Miller, who's a close advisor to President Trump, Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump. No word on whether he's tested positive. The president told reporters Friday she's a wonderful young woman. He's not in very close contact with her. And Vice President says he has tested negative for COVID-19.
Mm.
But it sounds like a lot of people around that orbit, at least a few, are publicly
getting closer. Out. You know, the reporters in the White House briefing room have their fingers crossed that Stephen Miller is going to come down with it, too. They can't stand him.
Oh, they can't.
Can't stand that guy.
Seems like a good dude.
Yeah.
I didn't even know which one he is. Which one is he?
He writes speeches for Trump. He's a lot of things Trump has said Miller's been responsible for.
Oh, Adam, he's an example. He's an example of people's, like when people are thinking evil thoughts, their face looks evil.
Yeah.
He's like Pauly Shore's bad
conscience. Good. Very good. Yeah.
That's kind of what he looks like.
Huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's thinking about something scary.
Oh, the hair incident was the best because he's obviously going bald and he full on painted on some hair for an interview.
Yeah,
in the bottom left.
No, really?
Chris, blow that up. He painted on some hair for a TV interview, and it was so bad.
That's some Ron Popeil level.
Oh my god!
Top coverage.
What's he doing?
Yeah,
it doesn't even match.
That's terrible. Trump said, "You look terrific. Keep it that Steve." That's such a bad look.
I'm glad you said that, AJ, because I don't know if anyone caught the finale, the season finale of SNL, but there was a great bit where Baldwin came back to be Trump giving an online commencement speech.
That was funny.
I pulled a clip of it if you want to see it. It's about a minute or so.
Yeah.
What incredible energy and excitement I'm feeling right now. Now, my valet got the virus, so I had to do my own makeup. I had to resort to a Liza Minnelli TikTok makeup tutorial. I'm so honored to be your valedictator, but today is not about me. It's about you. Although I should spend a little time on me first, because I've been treated very poorly. Even worse than they treated Lincoln.
I'm sorry, wasn't Lincoln assassinated?
I'm not taking questions, Bebop. I'm only telling you the truth. Lincoln would agree. He's probably smiling up at me from hell right now.
Hey, what is this, dude? Hey,
let's mute him. Let's mute a lot of the jazz steps.
Oh, no.
Jazz steps?
Great. You're actually lucky to be graduating right now. There are so many exciting new jobs out there, like grocery store bouncer, cam girl, porch pirate, amateur nurse, and coal. Don't forget about coal. It's in the ground, and you just dig down and grab it.
I don't want to do that.
And I'm going to make sure colleges are open in the fall. Online college is a scam, and I should know my online college was ranked number one craziest scam by U.S. News every year it was open.
Yo, we want Fauci!
Oh, sure. Everyone loves Fauci.
Fauci!
And don't you hate when these elite medical experts tell you what to do? Just, excuse me. Good old invincibility juice.
Ew.
Cheers to you guys.
Yeah, it was a funny bit and a good example of how you can take that format and make it work. You know,
yes,
it doesn't have to be a liability if you you come up with something that works for that format, and that worked perfectly.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, that. But you know what's not working is the Weekend Update. Just it doesn't. It never hits the mark the last few times they've done it.
I haven't seen it in a while, so I'm
at least they got their green screen. I mean, they're doing what they can.
Yeah.
Remember there was an episode where they let a few people in to, you know, unmuted them so they could laugh just to see if that would work. They're doing their best. It's very tough.
Yeah. No. I did stand up with nobody at the Laugh Factory a few weeks ago with nobody in the room, and it is damn weird.
That's tough.
It is. I went
that's
home.
Tough.
I beat the shit out of my orangutan. I'm so upset.
You know what? Bill Maher. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know people look at my Instagram and they love Duchess, and she's a delight, but I took it out on her that night. Sorry, go ahead. Bill Maher.
No, I say Bill Maher, he's gotten it right so far with his real-time show because he uses stock footage of audiences laughing in an arena from like the 60s. He's got people dressed in raincoats because they're watching Gallagher. So when they go to laugh, they throw it to this stock footage of an audience. That, to me, works. It's corny. It's stupid. It makes you laugh watching it. But when you got nothing and the guys on Weekend Update tell a joke and there's no sound, even Fallon, Kimmel does okay, but Colbert and Myers, it's awful. I can't listen to it.
Well,
it's not their fault. It just doesn't work.
I agree. We're so rhythmically trained. Speaking of Maher, I thought I saw a tweet earlier that Rose McGowan me too'd him, but it was like
her
whispering something in her ear.
He leaned across. She during a politically incorrect in the 90s. She says he leaned over to her and said in a commercial break, "My parents didn't give me much in the face department, but I'm hung like a horse." In so many words. Now he's bringing this up 20 some odd years later. I can't wait for Dunnigan to do it because Bill and I have had the same girlfriends over the years. He is hung like a horse. That's true.
Oh,
really?
So Rose wasn't lying. He may have said that, but I know he was joking because Rose is the wrong color for Bill.
Well, also, there's a little bit of this. We were just kind of talking about Natalie Woods having sex with her 44-year-old director and God knows what Warren Beatty was up to back in the day and everything else. It's hard to retroactively go back and do things. Like, I'll put it to you this way. You would be arrested if you lit a cigarette on a commercial airline flight in 2020.
100%. Right.
But in the 60s and in the 70s and even into the 80s, people smoked routinely.
Yeah.
So it's like, it'd be like finding a picture of you smoking on a flight from the 80s and then pulling it out and going, oh my God, can you believe what this guy did? It's like people did things. People would refer to African Americans as Negroes. That's what they did in the 60s. So it's like you saying this guy called a black person a Negro. It's like, yeah, but within the context of the time when people were doing it. Now, that doesn't mean you're allowed to drop digits on people, and that's doesn't mean you're allowed to grab them by the pussy or any of that. But the stuff that people used to say was considered funny most of the time, had a context to it, and it was pretty regular fare, stuff that happened. So to pull stuff that was kind of a norm from the 90s and then 20-some-odd years later trot it out, to me, that stuff does have an expiration date.
Well, and like, what? I mean, not that he would care if he was still alive, but think of how Don Rickles' life would have been destroyed if you just played his stuff.
Oh, my God.
He wouldn't have a chance.
Could you imagine?
I could not imagine.
Oh.
This is...
The
there.
Dean Martin roast. The Dean Martin roast, they would have went to jail. Yeah.
That's right. Here's the Rose McGowan tweet we're looking at. I guess we're... Oh, here's a memory I'd like to share with you. I bet you don't remember, Bill, but I sure do. I was so excited to be on your show, get to flex my mind instead of my face. Here's what happened. All I could say, Bill, you got the face you deserved. And she says, I was on your show, Politically Correct, in the 90s. As the show returned from a commercial break, you leaned over to me and whispered in my ear, my parents didn't give me a good face, but they did give me a huge cock. I could feel your hot breath on my ear as an image of both your hideous face and alleged big cock flashed in my mind. Both turned my stomach. I've always wondered what you say and do to the girls that aren't famous.
I wish Bill Maher has proof that he banged her and he can produce that proof. I would love that.
I would watch that like a Barracini monkey beating video over and over again.
Yeah.
Number one.
Right?
A monkey would get beaten.
And he may have a big cock, but big enough to turn her stomach, that's a long way to go.
That's
it. Yeah, this is a girl that dated Marilyn Manson, who is not exactly the model man to be seen with.
If you find pictures of her from like the MTV Music Awards with Marilyn Manson, like I remember going, I think it was at the Universal that year, but I seem to remember 2000.
Was that where that iconic sort of fishnet thing?
Yeah, see-through.
Yeah, it was like a chainmail ass thing or whatever it is. And 1998, VMAs. Mm. Yeah, I think I went to that with Drew, as I recall. It was Universal Studios or Universal Sheraton or whatever the venue was over there. But either way, time's a fucking bitch there.
Whoa!
Wow.
Yeah, Rose was hot. She was hot shit. But, you know, poor, like, if anybody thought she'd be happy once Harvey Weinstein got put away, you were wrong. She still has something to bitch about because she has no career. No one's going to hire her for a movie or a TV show. So what she does, she sits home at night and just decides she's going to keep outing people for their behavior 25 years ago. It's fucking ridiculous.
Well, also, when you look like that and you dress like that, a lot of folks probably have said things to you throughout your 20s and early 30s. And now your job is to sit home over a glass of Chardonnay and see if you can summon some of those up. But also... I don't know. People have to they have to bale some hay and go mend a fence and go patch a roof or something. Like, people need to physically get out and go engage and do something. She's clearly just spending too much time with herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. God, wouldn't you be scared to have sex with her?
Well, now I would, not 25 years ago.
No.
Now I would not go near her.
All right.
That's for the best, because traces of COVID-19, the coronavirus, of course, have been found in semen of some severely infected men, raising the possibility the virus might be considered an STD in some ways, according to a new study out of China. Researchers found evidence of the virus in 6 men out of a group of 38, so still relatively low, at a hospital. It's not surprising the virus was found in semen samples, since it's also been found in stool. That's according to the Cleveland Clinic. Whoever got that job to go sewage diving, check for deadly disease.
I'd like to get the semen guy and the stool guy in the same elevator, you know, and have the semen guy's like, you think you got a bad job?
You're bad,
What do you do, work at a restaurant or a supermarket? Or what are you, meter man?
Whatever you're about to say, I promise I can top it.
I don't think man.
Mike Rose, phone rings. We got a new dirty job
for you.
You know why? I just wear the one glove on my good hand. You know why? Because I have to harvest samples. Now, there's a thing where they go, couldn't the guy do it himself, like a paternity clinic? You know what I mean? But we got to prove it. We got to verify. So I got to.
God. Yeah.
All right. Sorry. What else?
So that's cool.
I wanted to say, I forgot to give a plug for AJ over here. You can sign up for my monthly nut at CorollaDrinks.com, and you get a audio copy this month. I mean, we're going to include a copy of AJ's audio book. 74 nice. And sunny. And then we're also going to throw in a free audiobook chapter, brand new, hot off the press. I'm your emotional support animal. So that's going to be in there as well. And we're going to throw in a key locator, a sleeping mask, and two bottles of...
Wow.
Wait, how do I pronounce this? Poopari?
Poopari.
Poopari. Oh, poopari. Oh, sorry.
Speaking
two
of
bottles
which.
Of poopari. Sorry. Yeah. Now I got it. I thought it was kind of a wine or something. Yeah, poopari. We've talked about that. Spray it on the toilet. Right. Don't drink it. All right. No. And you can go to CorollaDrinks.com and get that. Yes. Sorry, Gina.
Well, Brian, I know you miss beer, so it's better off that you don't live in Germany right now because, like many breweries, Willinger Brauhaus in Germany had a surplus of beer. They couldn't sell it because all the hotels and restaurants that they sell it to are closed. So they gave it away. And when I say gave it away, they gave it away. Dozens of people, not a contest, not, you know, one lucky winner. Dozens of people stood in line outside the brewery wearing masks and standing, you know, 6 feet apart. And at the end of the day, they took home 690 gallons of free beer, which was good for the brewery because it allowed them to empty that old stuff out, fill the tanks with the fresh stuff that they'll hopefully get to sell when things get back to normal. They had to get rid of the product. So people just waited in line all day and took it home.
I've seen tape of people, they're dumping milk, dumping produce. Yeah. Like, it's really getting sad. Yes.
Aren't oil tankers just sitting in the middle of the ocean? Because you have to pump the oil out. It can't stay where it is, right?
I was literally walking around or driving around Malibu with Sonny earlier today, and he pointed out, it's like, look at that big boat way out there. And it was a tanker just sort of sitting there. So I don't know, but whatever the plan is, we should start executing it. Like, let's figure it out and let's get back going here.
How about, have you heard where, you know, for a while, maybe a few weeks back, we were killing cattle and chickens and pigs and we're such a smart country. Can't we package that meat and sell it to other nations? How do we just get rid of shit like that? That's unbelievable.
I don't know. Like, we should have enough jerky to last us five nuclear winters when this thing is done with.
Right.
Yeah. I would imagine there's so much regulation around that particular industry that you go, hey, you couldn't go, I got some extra cows. Why don't I drop them off at the Hormel place and you guys whip up some? Like, there's so much regulation that I think they probably can't do it. All right.
Gina,
let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, we got Geico over here. You want to save some money? Well, I think you should. You should bundle and go with Geico. Geico, you should. They're giving back. I don't know if you guys know this. 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. So they get it. You're not driving as much, and you're not using it as much, and they realize that. And they're going to kick some money back because they're committed to the long haul. 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for full eligibility at geico.com/giveback for full eligibility. All right, find out all about that. Find all the info you need on that eligibility. All right. AJ Benza can be found on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and can listen on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Fame is a Bitch is where you go to check AJ Benza's pod out. And Adam Carolla, CorollaDrinks.com for the monthly nut. Get AJ's book and my book there as well. And let's see. Go to AdamCarolla.com. We'll put all the stuff you need up there. And you can check out Chassis with all our movies and docs there. And until next time, Adam Carolla for AJ Benza and Gina Grad and Bull Ryan saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pre-order Adam's book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Do so now at AdamCarolla.com.